You're with Sounds Good, our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Austin Carter, joined in studio by Kate Lochte and by the Dean of Murray State School of Agriculture, Tony Brannon.
Sir, thank you for being here.
Great to be here today.
The Hudson School of Agriculture is booming, and I'd like to sort of open with a small paragraph from an article just out on online from myfarmlife.com, put out by Massey Ferguson at their website. Claire Veth writes, "It's early and the yolk-colored light is breaking over the Spartan brick buildings in Murray, Kentucky. Things look decidedly hopeful as students stride across the dew-laced grass of campus. Murray State University's Hudson School of Agriculture teems with activity."
That's a great beginning to a good day. She put the flowery wording behind that, and we're excited about that article and what it means. And it's a good time to be in agriculture, and it's an even better time to be at Murray State in agriculture.
Your enrollment figures this fall are, in fact, great.
Yes, it looks like with preliminary figures that we'll set another all-time record enrollment, over 900 students. We almost broke that barrier last year, but and of course, that doesn't count our 300 or 400 Racer Academy students that we have dual credit classes across Kentucky in the fall and spring. But over 900 traditional students enrolled here at Murray State in agriculture, and over 200 freshmen. We just welcomed yesterday in freshman orientation. I had a chance to go there and transitions class and welcome them personally to Murray State. We had our back to school picnic last night where we had most all of them out there, a taste of agriculture, and we've been given a lot of bounty, and we especially appreciate the opportunity that we have to welcome this new crop of freshmen.
I understand you're pretty pleased with the caliber of students you're getting.
Absolutely. I mean, we continue to be blessed with great students. Number one, we're here to serve the region. We put an increased emphasis last year on the 18-county service region and getting some of the best and brightest leaders, or all of them, out of this area. Obviously, kids have choices, particularly those good kids. They're able to pick among their scholarship opportunities. But we want Murray State to be the institution of choice for our region as well as across the state. So we've really opened up statewide and across our region. Murray State, it's one thing for the dean to sit here and brag on our program, but when we have influential agriculture leaders from all across the state and region that brag on our program, there's no way that you can put a value on that. And they wouldn't do that just because they're my friend or because they're a friend of somebody here at Murray State if it wasn't something to it. So that publicity has really helped. You know, we got, you look at all kind of measures. Last year we had 15 or 14 out of the 18 students that applied for vet school got in. That's an anomaly in higher education to have that many. But it's indicative of the great students that we have and the students that we have all across the boundaries and different specializations at Murray State.
Hudson School of Ag is right up there in the top of ag schools who are experiencing growth in student recruitment. And you attribute that to both the graying of the folks in agriculture and the diversification of vocations in ag.
I believe I was quoted in an article saying jobs, jobs, jobs. It's about having a career and being able to have some opportunities. And we are an option in that and have a role to fill in that, replacing the workforce in agriculture. Last year, the statistics came out of the non-land grant colleges and departments of agriculture in the nation. We have the seventh largest enrollment of any of those. So we are a major player in agriculture. The university recognizes that through the distinction of the School of Agriculture. Industry and donors have recognized that through stepping up from not only the naming of the school, but also in donors that sponsor all of our different events and opportunities for our students. So we do have a lot of good opportunities. We want to keep that relationship with industry and continue to build. It's a good time to be in agriculture. There seems to be a lot of jobs all the way across the industry, and we have a good, healthy mix of traditional programs, but also new programs.
Now, just as a person outside of agriculture driving around our beautiful region, it looks like a great year, but what do I know?
It has been a good year. It's been a year of extremes. We went from a very extremely wet spring, a delayed planting season. Once we got in, we had plenty of rain. The crops looked great. all of agriculture, from the horticulture to the production agriculture to the animal. We have a very robust animal agriculture market now with some great prices, some of the best we've had. Unfortunately, the same weather we had is all across the Midwest. There looks like it's going to be a bumper crop. Prices in our grain crops have been a little bit more depressed than what they've been. And then all of a sudden it turns dry. And then we had extremely cool weather during July. One of the coolest Julys, which is excellent for crop growth and production, followed by this the last 2 weeks of temperatures that are way above what we usually experience this time of year, which combined with the dryness has kind of put a little damper on some of our production here, but not too late for some good rains to help. So we hope to continue to bring in a good record crop.
Now, I know you must get tired of talking about
new agricultural opportunity, I bet you're going to ask. So.
It's the H word.
Yes, that's right.
It's been batted around the Commonwealth for the last year and a half,
We've got it. Actually, we've got the first in the Commonwealth and the first in the nation. When other seeds were confiscated, ours came through from a company in California working under the auspices of the Kentucky Department of Agriculture. We have been one of the lead institutions. We do have about an acre and a half of a new agricultural crop. I call it agricultural hemp instead of industrial hemp because it is a new crop. Last year, we experimented with a new crop to our area called Canaf. We continue to work on that crop. So working with a new crop is nothing new to us. This is a particularly, I guess, interesting new crop because it was formerly one of the first billion-dollar crops in the United States and was Kentucky's number one crop back in 1937. It was on the cover of Popular Mechanics magazine as America's billion-dollar crop. So compiling that information in today's inflation, that would make it about $137 billion crop if we'd have continued along that line. But of course, with the challenges that comes with that crop and whatever it was made illegal. But it's come back with the modern testing that we have as an agricultural opportunity, both from fiber and seed and oil. Many, many, many uses. I think I've heard 2,500, some even said 25,000, I don't know, I lose my zero, different uses for the crop. But in the automobile industry, in the equine bedding industry, certainly in the oil and the medicinal uses of some of the hemp oil and treatment of some diseases and seizures. And you know, I just got a letter from a gentleman in Louisville today. It's a different letter saying that his wife was stricken with cancer, and he wanted to know if the hemp treatment would maybe help with her pain. And I'm not a medicine guy. I don't know what all the uses are, but I think we need to research it and find out what we can use this legal crop. It was made legal in the 2014 Farm Bill for universities and departments of agriculture to work with it. It's not available for the general public to produce or agricultural producers. We do have about 15 acres of crops and about 7 or 8 pilot projects across Kentucky. We've never done this before, and we're learning things. Ours was a variety, one variety, different row spacings, different plant populations, looking at how it grew and how it matured. We're almost at the harvesting stage now. We got a late start on planting. I think we're going to have to plant it a little bit earlier than we did, but we planted on May 12th, which was the first in the state and first in the nation, and we're looking. We have two different plantings and a couple different varieties that we're looking at.
Where will the plants go from after harvest?
We're working on that. We're going to utilize some of it internally. We're actually now going to heat our equine building with biomass crops, so we'll use some of it as just biomass. I'm excited about the opportunity for equine bedding because we have an outstanding equine program. We're having to get more and more for wood shavings, and wood shavings are valuable in dark tobacco production and other things. So if we could replace some of that market with that, the queen, as I understand it, beds her horses with hemp fiber. So, you know.
So why not Murray State?
Why not Murray State? It has a wood shavings. Straw has 100% absorbency. Wood shavings has 200%. And we understand hemp has 400% of its weight absorbency. And that's what you want with a good bedding. So why not try it? We'll be harvesting some of the seed to save and to do some research on. With Caudill Seeds in Louisville, who's been our seed partner that we work with, and then we're working with Canavest and U.S. Hemp Oil Association out in California and Nevada, Las Vegas, with some of the potential uses that we might have for that crop when it's harvested. Also looking for an equipment. We don't have any machinery to harvest it. So we're working with an equipment company.
Interesting.
And they say they have a biomass header that will harvest it. So hopefully we'll be able to demonstrate some of that also and work along that angle. You know, they used to harvest it in the 30s and 40s by hand. And we want to do things a little bit more mechanical and a little bit easier than that now, particularly if we ever get into large acreages.
Fascinating new opportunity in ag. And then you have a party coming up to raise funds for the Arboretum.
Another exciting avenue of development at our Pullen Farm and that property that was left to us. We created several years ago a regional arboretum. And for the first time, we're going to have the Hudson Harvest Gala. Hudson Inc. has stepped up and has become the corporate sponsor of that. Of course, they're the namesake of our and Miss Cindy and Miss Sue of our School of Ag. But Hudson Inc., the John Deere dealers, have stepped up and have become the corporate sponsor of this. We're inviting the public and the Friends of Arboretum come out. There'll be some silent auctions things. We have a new, what we call the Mountain and Pond exhibit, which is a new addition to our arboretum, and it's particularly going to be beautiful at night. We have a lighting. We've had so many people step up and help us with that project. We decided to go ahead and do the project and then raise the funds after we got it done. So we hope to raise some funds to be able to expand it and put even more features in it. But our students and faculty and staff have worked so hard along that lines, and it's going to be September the 4th, Hudson Harvest Gala at the Arboretum.
You've got music by the Drunken Poets, and you've got Dr. Trey and Dr. V entertaining, refreshments, and it's certainly a very relaxing evening ahead.
We hope for a little cooler temperatures, but we hope everybody come out and see the beauty of God's earth and what we've done with it on the Pullen Farm. It's been an interesting, ongoing, long-term project. It'll never get finished, but we just continued to make a little progress on there. Got off to a rough start this year with the wet weather and get behind some of the weeds and grass, but our students have stepped up over the summer and done so much. We're blessed with some students that enjoy that type of work and have moved it forward.
I think Paula Edwards, the chair of the Board of Friends of the Arboretum, is really interested in the community understanding that it is a big deal now. It has really changed.
It's been fascinating to go out there and see the amount of traffic that we get. There's a need for places to walk, for things to get exercise, and it's really being used a whole lot more by the community. And we want to provide that opportunity, keeping in mind that it is an educational laboratory for our students, and it is a significant portion of our Pullen Farm operation. Sometimes you have to monitor those type things. Sometimes it's most difficult to tell people that they need to clean up after their dog or that they need to not let their kids make black marks on our nice sidewalks. But that kind of goes with the territory. So we try to have it to be a relaxed atmosphere for the community and for our students and for our university. It's kind of a hidden jewel. And as we roll it out, as more and more people are beginning to notice it. When we get the nighttime exhibit and have some of the cleaning up that we've done along that side of the farm, we'll be able to showcase that to maybe a little bit more.
Well, it's excellent, and tickets are available. You need to register in advance with Abby Hensley in the Office of Development at Murray State. Her number is 270-809-3131. Again, it's Thursday, September 4th. Would that be next?
Be next Thursday.
Yeah. Wow. September 6 to 8:30 p.m. The Hudson Harvest Gala. Dr. Tony Brannon, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You're with Murray State's WKMS. We sound good because of listeners like you.